There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace. Our lives.
Welcome, my friend. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. Thank you for joining us on the final broadcast of Resurrect the Republic with Eric the Freedom Screamer. This is it tonight, people, so if you'd like to call in and chip in, chime in, vent off, say whatever you want to say, feel free to call in. It's 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And of course, as always, this show has always stood on Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That is God's call to activism. And it was really clear to me, doesn't take a lot of interpretation when God says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? I don't think he was looking for somebody to say, no thanks, not me. I think he was looking for volunteers, and he gave us free will. And I encourage everybody to volunteer for activism in some form. Don't hide. Don't think you got all the solutions. Don't think the conclusion is foregone. Don't think, you know, Armageddon's coming around the corner because the DOD has already got a plan for unleashing robotroids on us. Don't submit to the fear. Don't submit to the distractions. You're going to be overwhelmed with distractions and diversions over the next upcoming weeks, months, and years. Don't submit to the distractions. Stay focused. Until we fix our own ship, until we fix our own problems, which is patriots nationwide getting rounded up by the Gestapo and run through the witch's court as if worse than you would see in a movie where you have the witches up there in their robes saying, do you confess? And people in chains are saying, well, to what? I didn't do anything wrong. Do you confess? I mean, that's where we are. It's not hyperbole. It's not exaggeration. Republic's gone if it's only going to be resurrected if people get active. So, plenty of places to go for news, plenty of places to go for stories, plenty of places to go for feel good, plenty of places to go for distraction, plenty of places for gossip. Where are you going to, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go and what are you going to do now? That it's up to you. That means you, the listener, everybody who can hear this broadcast, it's incumbent upon you all to do something. Start off by passing out jury nullification flyers. The greatest way to educate people, break the ice, get to meet someone new, spread the word of freedom. You don't have to get into the Zionist conspiracy, although that is very real. You don't have to get into the Vickers and the Masons. You just tell people about jury nullification, real simple. Okay, and if you can turn up, you can turn up the dial from there. But at least, at very minimum, people, print out those jury nullification flyers. Don't stop doing it. Don't think because you posted a couple or handed them out one day, your duty is not done. This is a full-time. People can take this and run with it as a full-time activism hobby, past, you know, whatever you want to call it. Essential duty for freedom. I don't call it a job. You may not get paid for it, but guess what? You will. You'll reap the rewards in freedom if you do something for freedom every day. What will you do for freedom? What did you do today? What did you do yesterday? Got anything planned for tomorrow? How about next week? Gonna have to do something, or we're all just gonna have to plan to go to the bloody war. Let's try not to let it not get to that. Here we are with the new administration running us headlong into World War III, and the people who want us. It's the desperate. I know Trump has a lot of shills out there, but there are people who genuinely wanted to believe and still want to believe in Trump. Oh, he's still doing some good stuff, though. Right, while nuclear missiles are being lobbed across the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean, I don't think it much matters. The couple of good things he did for the economy, we're in big trouble right now. We have a man who refused to cut the umbilical cord with the globalist pigs and the Zionist banking establishment. And you can see who Trump's taking orders from right now. They were calling him President Kushner on one of the other broadcasts today. And they weren't doing it and laughing and out of sarcasm. It appeared that they were genuinely calling him the president now, like acknowledging that he's the guy calling the shots. Well, he is. He's the one meeting with the corporate executives. He's the one advising the president, and for Trump to get up there and say, oh, Mr. Jared Kushner is doing a fantastic job and he's really doing a great job. Hey, then Trump's evil. How much are you going to let a man get away with telling you he's a good patriot and he's going to help to restore the republic while he's up there saying people who are clear in his family who are clearly working for the enemy are somehow still okay and they're just on the wrong track on this one. We'll get him back on track and everything will be fine. We're not too distressed right now. Kushner is not working for the enemy. He's just, he's mistaken. Oh, he's messing up. He just doesn't know what he's doing. Ha! Anybody who tells you that Kushner doesn't know what he's doing is working for the enemy, okay, period. Or they're completely delusional, and like a child who doesn't want to believe that the good tooth fairy is not real or Santa Claus is not real, ISIS is not real. And with that, I want to read the definition of ISIS, because we're going to World War III now, and we're going to World War III to supposedly fight ISIS, right? ISIS and ISIL and the Islamic this and the Islamic that. ISIS, the word, has nothing to do with Islam. It was made up. And first I'm going to read you the dictionary definition of ISIS. And then we're going to play a little clip. And Mike's got it ready to go. So here we go. I'm going to read. Let me read the definition of ISIS first. And for some of you listeners have heard me do this in the past. I didn't beat this to death. But I probably should have, because it's going to beat us to death now. And I don't mean ISIS, those Muslims with the masks who work for MI6, Mossad, and the CIA as mercenaries pretending to be Muslims so they can start a giant clash of civilizations and say, whoops, well, what do you want us to do? The crazies are, the jihadis are everywhere. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of useful idiot jihadis out there who follow this garbage. But listen to the definition of ISIS. Now, this is in the American Heritage Dictionary, page 693. Okay, now, it's not one word ISIS with a bunch of multiple definitions. We see that a lot in the dictionary. A first definition, there's a second definition. Some words have 7 or 8 or 9 different kind of definitions. This one is written separately. The word ISIS is capitalized, is in the bold font, and it's printed twice. It says ISIS with a little 1 next to it, like to the first power. And then there's an ISIS with a little 2 scribbled up next to it, like ISIS to the second power. Once again, let me be clear. These are not multiple definitions within the same word ISIS in the dictionary as you would normally see. The word is actually written twice. ISIS goes from Ishtar to Isinglass to ISIS 1. The next word in the dictionary is ISIS 2. And then it goes to Iskar, Iskanderun, Isle de Pascua, and on and on. So let me read the phrase. I just wanted that to be clear, because this is not two definitions of the same word. These are two. The word is being used two different ways. one the classical definition historically, Isis is Isis One, an ancient Egyptian goddess of fertility and sister and wife of Osiris. So it's an Egyptian goddess who married her brother. Isis Two. See Oxford. Huh? That's all it says. Isis with a little two. It's all its own word. This is not within the second definition of the original Isis. This is a whole other Isis written the same way. Capital I, small s, small I, small s. Isis. Isis Two. See Oxford. So I said, okay, this will be interesting. So I turned over to page 939. Of the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language. And it says Oxford with a capital O, Oxford. The county seat of Oxfordshire, England. On the Thames, locally called Isis. 52 miles northwest of London, site of Oxford University, population 109,000. So Oxford is Isis. And when you, I encourage people who are online, I don't know if I can pull it up right now while I'm on the phone, but I'm going to try. And if I can't do this, I want people to go online and look up, just type into your search engine, Oxford Isis. That's it, Oxford Isis. And you'll see that it's there's a technological corporation within Oxford University that has dozens, if not hundreds, of spin-off companies. I didn't get through the whole list. It went on and on. Vaccine companies, nanotech companies, all coming out of Oxford University. Corporations, they call them spin-off corporations. They're being sold on the London Stock Exchange, and I'm sure the New York as well. Just type into your search engine Oxford Isis. The rowing team at Oxford University is refusing to change its name from ISIS to something else. They're going to stick with the name. They're still calling themselves ISIS. They're right out in the open. They've named that area of England after an Egyptian fertility goddess. It's not a small I-S-I-S, and there's no other definition for it. It is a cult. It is an ancient cult. It's a very evil cult. Don't forget, Oxford University is where all the MI6 grads, J.P. Morgan, all the intelligence guys and anybody who's working for the enemy puts in their time at Oxford if they're going to be at a high level, like the new ambassador to the European Union for the U.S. His name's Malik. Yeah, he's related to Teddy Roosevelt, that great Freemason that we know and love so much. Okay, so anyway, Oxford, the county seat of Oxfordshire, England, located on the Thames River, and it's locally called Isis. Now, I want people to realize, anybody who can do this, get to a search engine in the next couple of days. Do it this weekend. If you don't have a computer, go down, make a point, okay? You can go into town for whatever other reason, to do laundry or to get food or whatever, meet a friend. Go into the library and just, they'll have a bunch of laptop computers there, and the woman will help you turn it on. It's pretty simple, okay? It's not that difficult. And type in Oxford and ISIS, and go to a couple of the websites and print out. I charge you 15 cents. I think our library charges a 15 cents to print out a page. And you'll see how deep ISIS goes. And ISIS is Oxford. And ISIS is the name of the corporation that they're going under. And I think at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to hang up and go dig it up for you people who can't get to a computer. And then I'm going to call back in. So, Mike, be prepared for that little maneuver at the bottom of this hour. I'm going to pull it up online. The name of the actual corporation from which they're spinning off all these sub-corporations and selling them to the public, vaccines, nanotechnology, etc., is called ISIS. And they're changing the name to, you know, New Oxford Technology Group Incorporated or something like that. They're in the process of juggling the name. The cat's out of the bag. And with that, I want to play a clip. This is a CNN interview from 1990. With Ryan Lamb as the interviewer for CNN, and it's more of a this is not a glitch type thing. Oh, it is C-SPAN. I was just going to say okay, good. It is C-SPAN because I was just about to say it looks like more of a C-SPAN type of interview than it does a CNN interview. There's no glitz. It's just a dead backdrop of a black curtain. two guys at the table and the interviewer. It's they really dig in deep to the intelligence agencies, what is going on in Israel with the multiple intelligence agencies, how they're related to other entities, and how they were named. So with that, I'm going to let Mike play the clip. Mike, go ahead.
Each, because you have three major... intelligence gathering organizations in Israel. You start with the Mossad. What is it?
Mossad means institute, by the way, and this is an institute for intelligence and special operations. So the Mossad is the foreign espionage arm. Compare it to the CIA.
All right, go down here to the...
Next one is Amman, right? Military intelligence. It's a Hebrew acronym, so it is the intelligence arm of the armed forces. As Yossi was saying, it in fact is the largest and most important. And then it says Shin Bet, two Hebrew letters, initials for security services. That's the domestic agency, the equivalent of the FBI.
Which one of the three is the most important?
Oh, it would be Amman, the military intelligence. Nothing is
Why?
More important than you're watching your Arab neighbors for actual movements of troops, how many tanks they have, where are the aircraft. All these other missions that we described are fascinating. And even getting, you know, thousands of Jews into the country is vital. But war, having a sign that war is coming, that's the key, and that's Amman's job.
Which is the second most important?
The Mossad. The problem with Amman, with the military intelligence, is that it lives in the shadow of the flamboyant Mossad. It can be compared to the same problem which is facing United States National Security Agency, NSA. It is the largest, the most important agency in the intelligence community. Yet, the most famous one, which gets media attention, is the CIA. The same is in Israel. The Mossad has become sort of epitomizing the Israeli intelligence. But the most important agency is military intelligence. Mossad comes second, and then you have Shin Bet, the Israeli equivalent to the FBI, in charge of fighting terrorism, counterterrorism, subversion, trying to foil plots against the state of Israel, political plots and others.
You tell the story about how you tried to find out what they call the Mossad when they deal with publicly?
I thought it was a reasonable question, but the trouble is you can't pick up the phone book. There's no Langley in Israel that you can look up, you know, CIA or in our case the Mossad. We thought we should ask, what shall we call it in English? You can translate the Hebrew words, as I said, Mossad is institute. But when they write a letter to their friends in the CIA or the British intelligence, what do they call themselves? It took a while. It was a matter of asking the prime minister's spokesman. The best you could do, because officially the Mossad is under the prime minister's office. And I think he sort of wondered why you want to know and all that, so we explained. And he came up with the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. I mean, if it were to have initials, it would be ISIS. Just simple words like that. Interestingly enough, kind of a British model. The British don't really like the names MI5 and MI6 for their foreign service. They prefer SIS, Secret Intelligence Service.
Hmm. Wow. Back in 1990, IS was Israeli Secret Intelligence Services. Think it still is today? Oh, and by the way, did you catch what he said at the end of that interview? Huh, interestingly enough, they base it on the British model. Would that be like the Oxford University called ISIS British model? The definition I just read you people out of the dictionary? Okay, so the three gentlemen you were listening to was Ryan Lamb. That was Dan Raviv was the guy who spoke kind of more unbroken English. And I think Yossi Melman was the guy who spoke the broken English and was clearly, you know, more of an Israeli directly related. But I can pretty much guess that guy Dan Raviv is also working for one of the intelligence agencies, although they were on discussing a book they wrote called Every Spy a Prince. Really? Every Spy is a Prince? Tell me that's not brainwashing. So, and he was kind of smiling with a half smile through this whole thing, like, in your face. We're going to set up ISIS. We know it's going to come in about 10 to 15 years from now. Well, we'll call the Islamic State ISIS. nobody will even know, and they'll get a big laugh out of it while they take over the world and lead us into a new world order through their order out of chaos motto. That's their motto, with this new World War III we have beginning. Isn't everybody excited that Trump's taking us to World War III? He was the spitting image of what happened, just a few months back, where they, or last year, chemical attack supposedly by Assad. Now, why would Assad, when he's about to win, by the way, what a slap in the face to the Russians, who just took care of the real problem. They hit the targets that were really a threat, the real mercenaries, whoever they're working for, because we wouldn't do it. We're supporting them. Let's get Obama's clip about funding ISIS there, Mike. We'll play that as well. So, what, you know, how can anybody, so here we are again with another chemical attack that doesn't make any sense. Assad would not do this. He has nothing to gain by, he has nothing to gain by bringing down the wrath of the entire United States military, British military, Israel. I mean, the whole world is there just drooling to take over Syria. So the Golan Heights, which are rich in oil and water, the water is more important than the oil. Read Water Wars. The oil's a cover. Oh boy, the oil's nice. Sure, it's makes the world run. But water feeds the world. World starves without it. And major water wars are being fought in the Middle East. And I would contend, other than the ancient technology that they're looking for, that it's about water, not oil. So what would Assad have to gain by bringing down the wrath, just as Russia was cleaning up the last of the real, what you want to call, mercenary armies calling themselves ISIS or Muslim or whatever they are? So maybe there's some real people in there who think they're Muslim. I mean, if that's God worship, then that doesn't look like too much of a good God to me. Why would Assad unleash a chemical attack on his own people? Oh, and by the way, there's no proof, and there's no YouTube videos being posted online from the scene, and nobody on the scene had a camera that could post and is giving really accurate and saying, here's the actual, they hold a few pictures up in the air at the UN that could have been taken, you know, in one of the suburbs of Washington, D.C. or Baltimore, and say, here's a dead baby. I mean, the witch's court just said it was okay to kill 50 million of them here. What do they cry? We think a few can kill. I mean, geez. Yeah, so, right. So here's the false flag terror attack, which Ron Paul also agrees. False flag. It has that. I mean, people who never thought about false flag are coming up with the word and saying, this is not Assad gassing his own people at the last minute. How convenient, right, that he would shoot himself in the foot by gassing his own people and giving the United States military a perfect excuse to take him out and launch 59 cruise missiles the other day. I wonder how much Lockheed Martin and Boeing and Martin Marietta and General Dynamics and all the corporate contractors, I wonder how much they made on those 59 cruise missiles that went in and didn't even damage the runway. The pictures I saw from a Russian drone online showed airplanes still intact and runway still intact. So, great. Okay, well, that's right. I was hoping you wouldn't attack the Russians, which is what we're doing when we're attacking Syria. All it is leading to World War III. If this is a genuine attack and it's not staged to create something with Russia, then this is a real, this is going head-to-head with Russia. Now, I'm not so convinced that Putin is off the reservation. Is he just another globalist that wants a new world order and he's going to do the dance? I don't know. I've never met the man. He may have repented. I tend to believe that Putin is off the Rothschild reservation, that he's a nationalist and he's a strong arm guy, but he's not, I don't believe that he's working with the pedophile brigade at the Vatican and all the London banking establishment child rapers up in England and Luxembourg and Rome. Okay, so Putin may be genuine, and this is why, if what we're seeing is real and it's not all a giant staged play, then Putin's doing more of the right thing than we are. He's not going on a world conquest right now. He's checking. He's a judo guy. He's more about blocking and takedowns without a lot of punches and a lot of blood and a lot of blows and a lot of expense. So so we're going headlong into World War III. They're claiming it's to fight what, ISIS? Well, that's not working. So now we're going to go after Assad, and we're going to support ISIS. And guess who one of the biggest supporters of Trump's air raid was? Was this fictional organization called ISIS that is nothing more than a creation of the intelligence agencies out of British intelligence, Israeli secret intelligence services, the CIA, and of course the Jesuit, the Vatican. Don't forget, the highest level players come out of the Jesuit intelligence agency. The Vatican has its own intelligence agency, okay, like the CIA, and that's who's pulling the strings at the behest of the people who own the paper, which are the royal families, London and Rome. The Jewish conspiracy is nothing more than Zionist bankers who are part of the establishment. I'd be more worried about the Jesuit Freemasons than I would about the Zionist bankers, because they're more ruthless and they'll do anything to get in power. And I believe right now they're all working as a team. I don't think any of them are arguing with each other. I think there's a unified force against freedom and a unified force for freedom, and that's where we stand. But if for people to say that Jared Kushner is just mistaken, or he wants to look out for his daddy-in-law, but he's just giving, oh, come on, people. He's working for the enemy, period, end of story. Why can we not just face that Santa Claus is not real, and Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law and chief advisor, who's still getting high praise from the president himself, is working for the enemy? Look at his actions. This was not to benefit the national security of the United States or anything to do with freedom. They're rounding people up out in Nevada and running through the witch's court, telling them, don't hold your Bible higher than your waistline.
Eric.
And of course, whenever it gets sticky at home and the Patriots start waking up and saying, uh-oh, we just got scammerino'd by the New York billionaire who is the consummate insider. And for some reason, a whole bunch of people thought, no, he's an outsider, man. Well, he says he is, and he sounds good. He's the consummate insider. I live in New York. You listen to me. All you people out there, this one I could get on a real high horse and say, I know it on this one. You don't trust a New York City billionaire, please. He's been spending his life desperately attached to the system and doing all kinds of things to that were complete. If I ran down the list, it would take all night. Backroom deals, paying off politicians, dealing with the mob, dealing with the NYPD. Oh, well, what's wrong with dealing with the NYPD, Eric? They're good law enforcement guys. Really? Bernard Carrick, the chief of the New York City Police Department under Rudy Giuliani, hailed as a hero after 9/11, did 4 years in federal prison. And he just recently got out, and now he's a commentator on CNN. Go ahead, Lori.
Okay, before you get going to another subject, let's play chess here a minute. I think what Trump did was a good thing, and I'm going to tell you why. I disagree with everybody out there. He had President Xi sitting at a dinner table with him as President Duterte of the Philippines is putting his army out on his little islands closest to China because they're all ramping up for war. We have Benghazi, which was a gun-running operation. Don't care how you feel about whatever, the facts are
but
the facts.
But those places are not in Syria.
Hold on.
They're not in Syria.
Eric, okay. Hold on. This is important. Benghazi was a gun-running operation. They also ran that sarin gas through Benghazi and chlorine gas through Benghazi. That's why the locals went and killed everybody in that embassy. They were running them through Turkey into Syria. This has been a proven fact. Now, we put that gas in Syria because they came in, and Syria has had people inspecting openly, having people inspect. So Assad could not possibly have done this. We set up, i.e. the Clintons, set up ISIS, and we know this for a fact. Putin went in and killed let me talk.
Okay.
He went in and killed what Clinton had started. Putin knows this. They have to play the game of good cop, bad cop. They're still doing that. Russia hasn't attacked us. He went in and cleaned up a mess that the U.S. had. That's what Trump did. It's going to tick everybody off, and he can't tell everybody what's going on because somewhere there's been a deal cut behind the scenes with the Clintons and everybody else. If you just go back and go in your little hole, we'll leave you alone. Well, the people won't let them go in their little hole, but that's kind of what the elite have done. So you've got President Xi there. Also, I'm not finished. You've got President Xi there, and everybody can't figure out why. He was sitting there because Trump's saying it's not going to happen anymore. He's sitting there at dinner with him and tells him at dessert what's going on. He's not afraid to go in and stop stuff as well as Putin. So this is the deal. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
No, were you there at the dinner to hear that, or did you get it from somebody else who wants to manipulate what you're thinking?
What I'm telling you is this is what's going on. If you play chess and you watch what Putin has done and you watch what Trump has done, Trump is the art of the deal. Same thing as playing chess. All they're doing is going to the man of peace in the Bible. They've got to have the peace. And that Trump is right there with the Jesuits. They've got to have the peace. They've got to calm the people down. So now Trump's got more people going, hey, all right, we're cleaning up the mess. A lot of people are getting mad, and that's backfiring on them because they don't understand. But if we look at all the pieces, and the key thing nobody's saying anything about is with that president of China sitting right there, he has the president of the Philippines going in to all his islands closest to China because they're about to go to war too. That's a way to say, don't start anything. We've got to get to peace. And that's probably what they're doing right now.
The Jesuits are not trying to calm down anybody. They're trying to whip up chaos to get their new world. It's order out of chaos, not order out of calm. They're not trying to quiet us down. They're trying to whip this up. That's number one. And number two, Bill and Hillary Clinton are both in CIA civilian assets that got into political office, like Perry Saturo, a.k.a. Barack Obama, like George Bush, the son of the former director of the CIA. And I'll tell you this, Clintons did not start ISIS. The intelligence agencies, MI6, Mossad, and the CIA working at the behest of the bankers did, and the Clintons just nourished them like watering a flower.
It's actually the Jesuits and the Bar Associations what it is. It's not. It's and Mossad.
Well, I agree.
But
Mossad's a cog in the wheel. Yeah, I agree with that.
The key thing that people are forgetting is the Bar Association as well, and that is straight out of London, City of London, where the bankers are. They're right there in the City of London, not London. But it's all four or five of them, and they're all manipulating everybody. But I see this as a play to calm people down. People are too irate right now across the globe. They are going to go in and start attacking the elite, and they're trying to get them to calm down. I've seen this for a couple of months now. Yes, they are still going to hit in areas where they can hit, like in Nevada and everything else, because nobody's paying attention to it. I know that because I'm living it. Nobody's paying attention to it. So literally, they can do and keep pushing in areas where they can keep pushing because nobody pays attention. But where you're paying attention, watch. Russia will not retaliate. I'm telling you right now. The president of China, has he said anything? I have not heard anything from him. Nothing.
Right, because he's doing business with the Trump family. They got a $4 billion deal going down just on one property on Fifth Avenue. So
yep.
They're working together behind the scenes, and overtly it's going to look like we're at war with each other to keep us all in the fighting mode and the conspiracy mode. But the bottom line is the intelligence agencies don't work for the government, and they don't work for the people. They work for the banking establishment. And ever since everything was broke and incorporated and reincorporated as a private business, they just figure, hey, we're running it like this. Is the problem with running a government like a business? Everybody gets in a business mentality. Which business do you think wants the war? How much do you think those 59 cruise missiles just cost, and all the money it took to get them there, the oil that got burned by Rex Tillerson's oil company, the infrastructure, the meals that got served? I mean, how much did that one operation, how much do you think they made just on that? This is all what's going on behind it, and don't think that Donald Trump and the Chinese president, he's posturing and threatening. Believe me, they're cutting backroom deals, and I'll bet you the money that the reason the Prime Minister of Germany was here, Merkel, was to get that Sprint deal where Deutsche Telekom is going to own, on top of T-Mobile, Metro PCS, Suncom, the entire Mississippi Valley region, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of licenses from Verizon, they're now going to buy Sprint. And by the way, we're boycotting T-Mobile and Metro PCS in particular because they got bought up by Deutsche Telekom, the German company. Oh, and I guess who cares, right? So who cares? They're blocking access to this network right now as we speak. I mean, I've got that confirmed by the woman who works for a corporation that's getting blocked by them also. Conference call companies also getting blocked. So this goes really deep. So anybody out there who's using Metro PCS or T-Mobile, I would highly recommend you flee from those operations. You're paying your money directly to Germany, and the worst part of the Nazis in Germany, the corporate Nazis, I mean, why would I not call them Nazis? They're blocking access only to the freedom stuff, though, only to the conference calls that talk about, you know, self-governing or independence or the union of the state, whatever it is. But all the others are not getting blocked. So this is the ramification of letting everything we have in this country get sold to foreign, especially, I mean, not that the companies that are owned by the here are any better. They're all pretty much on the same playbook, which is ruthless acquisition of property and wealth. Kind of like that New York billionaire that's sitting in the White House pretending to be a man of the people. How far did we go down the toilet? The New York billionaire who lives in a building made out of gold and marble, and I hear other talk show hosts saying, isn't that great? What a classy joint. Gold and marble, wow. And the prime minister's wife was there in a blue dress. Didn't she look lovely? This bodes very well for the administration. The prime minister's, China's wife in a blue dress, and that means it's good for, oh, I mean, what's going on out there? I hope you all valued what you got here while I was here, because after tonight it's over. Next week you're going to have somebody else filling this time slot. And I want to remind people, Tom Lacovara is going on trial soon, and I mean like next week, and I will be here to update you. When is it?
May. They changed it to May. They moved
it up. They changed it to May. Okay, so people, all I can tell you is this. If you care about Tom, I want everybody to stay on his case, so to speak. Stay on the Vickers case. Stay on Sheriff Byron Trapp's case. Stay on the case of the judge who's holding him without bail. I wanted people to keep calling that. I don't know if we ever did a phone blitz on the judge. We did the sheriff, the vicar, and what was the third number we gave? We gave the vicar, the sheriff, and Jeff Sessions, because I wanted to give Donald Trump a chance and hope that he would hear the cry of all the patriots like Tom and Pete Santilli and Clive and Bundy and Gary Hunt, the reporter who just got arrested for posting public information and not taking it down.
Yep. Eric, Jeff Sessions signed the order for all these court cases. He's quite aware of what's going on. Jeff Sessions
is aware. He's always, okay, great. Okay, so Jeff Sessions, isn't that lovely? Jeff Sessions is aware of all these cases. He can see, he's been around long enough and played the game long enough to know that Tom was set up and Clive and Bundy's getting raped and Gary Hunt's getting scammed. And he knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's part of. He's working for the enemy as well. Him and Kushner and the whole team around Trump. And don't tell me that Trump became a multi-billionaire by not knowing that these people, I mean, please, he's just all of a sudden some child who's being deceived by the people around him. And he just doesn't know that these people, these globalists, are going to do these things. He had to know full well they were going to do these things, lead us to war, lead us to strife, lock up patriots on a giant perch. This is the spitting image of what went on in pre-World War II Nazi Germany. And I mean just, yeah, we got a call. Okay, hang on a sec. Just before the war, we went through this same type of situation in Germany. We went through it. Well, the world experienced it. It was a world war. So, but the Germans in particular and all their victims, same thing. Go on giant military conquest episodes overseas, a lot of false flag terror with your ruthless intelligence agencies setting off bombs and setting off gas and setting off whatever they do to 95 to 99% of these terrorist attacks are staged by the intelligence agencies. I was doing a construction job, and now this is just hearsay, but this is what the guy next to me said, and I know him to be a decent, honest guy. He said his buddy just got back from Afghanistan. He was a demolitions expert. And he had really serious reservations and questions and concerns about where they were being asked to place their satchel charges. The satchel charge is just basically a bomb you put in a little bag. And they were being told, put them here in this public market. Put one over there near the school. Put one over here near the government building. So these bombs, okay, now I don't have any proof that that's true. But, I mean, please, folks, let's just be honest here. They've been caught in so many false flag terror attacks that can be proven, that it doesn't really, this is not an out there theory, okay? This is how business is done. And so, once again, we have two political, or the Republic, as soon as I heard Donald Trump was signed up with the Republican Corporation, I knew who he was working for. This is when he first started running. I thought he was going to, when his name got floated, I said, all right, New York billionaire, huh? And I know who this guy dealt with. Bernard Carrick, the head of all the mob families, the unions which are run by the mob, Carrick, who went to prison under Giuliani, who's a 9/11 co-conspirator, hardcore. So, you know, these are all insiders. Trump is not an outsider. He's a consummate insider. So I said, but you know how I'll tell. If he runs as an independent, we have a chance that he may have an independent mind. If he runs with an R next to his name for retard, we know he's running with the Republican corporations. And the Republicans are not a party anymore. And by the way, what were we doing allowing them to use that name anyway? A party? A party is something you go and blow off a whistle and wear a stupid hat and drink or alcohol or something. A political party. We just went right into it. So anyway, they're not even a political party anymore. They're a political corporation. And I knew when Donald Trump signed on that dotted line to run under that political corporation, he wasn't going to come back in and try to, you know, let's be honest. Do you think a businessman from New York is going to want to take the country out of its incorporated status and give it back to the people and run it just like a public service? You got to be kidding me. It's not going to happen. I mean, who are these people? I got to think that Donald Trump bought a lot of these networks. I'm not saying this one, but I'm saying some other ones that are carrying his water all up and down, and Trump can do no wrong. He could be standing there with a bloody knife in his hand, and people would say, oh, he must have cut himself cutting an apple or something, you know? So we're going headlong into World War III. I don't agree with what he's doing. It's insane, and if anybody thinks that he's posturing against China, they're believing what the lie that's fed to us. He's doing business with China behind the scenes like never before. Just look at the Manhattan property deal for $4 billion with the Anbang Insurance Corporation. They're going to get paid $400 million in a cash payout and get an equity stake in the new corporation that they're starting. So how's that? You're going to sell a building, get paid for it, and then still be the owner of it after you sold it and got paid. Wow.
Eric?
I almost wish I could do that, but I don't want to be evil like these scumbags. Go ahead, Lori.
We have Mike in Kentucky on the line.
Wonderful. Let's get to Mike. Mike, thanks for calling. Offer here on my last night on the air.
I'm not happy to hear that it's your last night on the air, and hoping to remember to, you know, remind myself to keep up to date on what's going on with Tom Lacovara. But yeah, I have had fun with dictionaries too. You know, like that with the Black's Law Dictionary and the old Bouvier's and Oxford Unabridged English Dictionary. If you actually go to the library that has one of these, you can look up a lot of weird stuff, like how people say amen at the end of prayers. It's actually a Egyptian god.
amen. Yeah, I know.
So there's a lot of that, but you talked about that earlier. And your webpage again?
My webpage is courtroomwatch.com. That's courtroomwatch.com.
And
they're also going to keep resurrecttherepublic.com going as well. That's good news to hear that. Okay, so good. So we'll look forward to Tom getting out and keeping
I would love to hear from people, and I guess not on your show because you don't have enough time tonight, but I happen to notice, and I've watched TV for a long time, I don't believe any network carried Trump's statement live, and he stumbled through it, you know, when he come on to say, you know, he'd done this attack or whatever, and, you know, asking for prayers for the victims and the precious children and all this sort of stuff. He stumbled through it.
Yeah.
Scott Pelley went to it on a delay. It was recorded, and they replayed it, and Scott Pelley, which I'm starting to call Scott Polly, like Polly the parrot, he stumbled through the introduction trying to figure out how to tell people that this was not live. So I almost wonder if they couldn't trust Trump to be live on that because of something that's going on. Earlier this week, Ivanka was on the air with an interview that was heavily edited in a very friendly, you might say, attempt to, bury the hatchet or something at CBS, because they went as far as they could do a friendly interview and still have any credibility for how much bashing they've done of Trump. But, I think there's a lot going on that we ain't being let in on, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, you know it. That's the whole thing is operating on deceit. It really is. It's all operating on deceit and disinformation. And so if you want to follow our stuff, we're going to attempt to do a conference call. You want to write this number down. We're going to do kind of just like a radio broadcast over the phone. I thought until I get the, you know, computer situation squared away, this is the best way to go. So we're going to try a nightly, or if worst case, a couple of nights a week, but I'm going to try to pull it off every night, conference call. And the number is 515-604-9703. That's 515-604-9703. And then if you hit the access code that you're going to put in, will be 754-153. The code is 7. Yeah, I'm going to try to do it once again. That's 754-153. And the time will be, I'm going to try to do 8 to 10 Eastern. That's going to be my goal. So maybe 5 o'clock Pacific time. And we'll see how close I can get to 2-hour show every night, kind of try to keep doing what I'm doing and stay in the groove. I encourage people, you know, I only have so many hours in a day. I'm going to try to juggle a day job and then do this at night. The more help I get from people, the more effort I can put into the research and information I bring to you on this broadcast. I have a funding page at courtroomwatch.com. It's within one of the blogs. You'll find it. All you need is a debit card for that. And I'll give people my mailing address in case they want to write me a letter. I really enjoyed hearing from the people that did write me. So it's Post Office Box 45. That's Eric Jones. And that is my last name. That is not a phony name. And my post office box is 45. The town of Angelica, 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 New York, 14709. That's 14709. So I hope people will keep in touch with me. We've got a conference call. There's my mailing address. Anybody can keep up with us at courtroomwatch.com. We're also going to be turning studio1776.org into a broadcast platform and hopefully have more shows than just myself, but in the early days, it'll at least be just me. And so we're going to try to broadcast out of studio1776.org on Blog Talk. And so if people want to try to follow us there, that won't be up and running for another maybe week or so. And then I think we have a YouTube channel for the Courtroom Watch now. The website has a YouTube channel that goes along with it, so we'll try to get posted up there. We'll try to keep the word getting out there on as many platforms as possible. I think there's plenty of room for everybody to follow RBN Network, follow Eric's stuff, you know, follow whatever it turns you on. I hope people realize I tried to bring, you know, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so help me God. Go ahead, Lori.
Exactly. So help you God. I'll let you go, guys, but yeah, all the best.
Oh, man. Thanks a lot. Join us on the conference call, okay? You got the number, right?
Yep, got it down. Thanks.
Okay, buddy, take care. Thank you for listening. Go ahead, Lori.
And we have Patricia in Florida as well.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Madame Florida, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Thank you. I had to try a few times to get through, but thank you for answering. And I wanted to say I've enjoyed your shows, and I didn't hear the conference call because the line cut off, so maybe you would repeat it at some point. Then I got 515, and that's all.
Okay. I'll repeat that number right now. It's 515-604-9703. Okay. That's 515-604-9703. And then there's an access code you punch in. It's just 754-153. So the access code again is, it's going to be 8 to 10 Eastern. So hopefully I can get to bed a little earlier and still get some other work done as well and try to be do it all. So if you want to listen 8 to 10 Eastern, that would be 5 Pacific. Down there in Florida, it would also be same Eastern time, I guess, 8 o'clock. So that's, now, listen, people, that might be adjusted, you know, to do a, instead of 8 to 10, I may end up doing 7 to 9. So just tune in, call in, and if you hear nothing but music, that means there's no conference call going on. If you hear the voice prop come in and say, you know, welcome to the call, and this is how many people are here, I think we can accommodate up to 1,000 people. So, I mean, I encourage people to pile in for now, and then if we get over 1,000 and I have to start paying for the conference call, you know, if I get donations, maybe I can do that, and if not, we'll just maybe max out at 1,000 and ask people who can listen over the computer to do that. But since the computer presence isn't quite up and running, it's a little bit of a, what do you call it, cobwebs and tumbleweeds over at Studio 1776. We haven't quite kept that one up to date. CourtroomWatch.com is up to date pretty well. And so Studio 1776 is under construction, so wear your hard hat and don't complain. We're going to get to it as quickly as we can, and we'll do studio1776.org, and maybe Tom will get out and come either back on this network or over there with us. So go ahead, Patricia.
I hope Lori will be on as well sometime.
Oh, absolutely. We can keep Lori going. Hopefully she'll call in and join us, and she can be at the top of the list as a guest. And we want to keep both Loris, Lori Anderson and Texas Lori, into this in this loop and keep updated and keep everybody together who is on the same page. You know, I think generally, I mean, we have our little disagreements. Like me and Lori had a little one. I mean, she's kind of, we're pretty much on the same page. We know who's at the top of the pyramid. We know that it, you know, it's a cluster, you know what. And it's almost, you know, who really knows it, what's truly going on. But I try to base a lot of mine on research from multiple, as close to the facts as you can get. Open up the dictionary. Watch someone say it in their own words.
And you've got to be able to play off of each other, too. You have to play off of each other, too, which we do very well. And with a lot of respect, I absolutely adore you, Eric. So glad that you could pull us through this time when Tom's been in jail. It's been awesome, absolutely awesome. Thank you.
Glad to do it. Yep. And I want to repeat the numbers to call on behalf of Tom. Tom is, for all you new listeners out there, I know we have some people that came in since Tom got arrested. Tom is the guy who founded this radio broadcast, you know, Resurrect the Republic part of it. And then he's been on this network for a while, and the government set him up because they didn't like what he was doing as a broadcaster and as an on-scene reporter for the Oregon situation and the Bundy situation in Nevada. So Tom was a fantastic reporter. You'll hear, go into some of the older archives. I hope the RBN network may keep the archives up for at least for a little while. And so
he
if people want to go
YouTube
download.
As well. He has a YouTube, RTR Truth Media, that you can see on YouTube with all his old shows and a lot of his old coverage as well. So you can go on that.
RTR Truth. Let me just repeat that again. RTR Truth Media. That's in RTR, is in Resurrect the Republic. So RTR Truth Media, and Lori has just informed us there's archives and data over there. So that's always a great resource. So keep up with that. And I want people to remember, Tom is still sitting in the Lane County Jail, and Byron Trapp is holding him, and the sheriff's number. And it's important that we educate this sheriff as to what. You know, he's the chief peace officer and is under no obligation to hold Tom because Tom is being unlawfully denied bail. And the situation with Tom, for anybody who hadn't heard, is he had a minor statutory felony in his past, and now comes along years later, and he's sitting in somebody else's hotel room, and somebody else in the room had a gun. And they're claiming that that's possession of a firearm by Tom, even though he's never even being accused of holding the gun or having it or owning it or touching it in any way. On top of that, you know, so it's a victimless allegation. Who did he hurt by sitting in a hotel room watching TV and somebody else had a pistol in their purse or it was in the bathroom or whatever the story was? So the bottom line is it wasn't his, and they knew it wasn't his, but they're still holding him without bail, even though the state and federal constitution, that means the U.S. Constitution and the Oregon State Constitution, all say bail must be provided except if it's a murder charge. Tom's not even accused of killing a fly. So, and they're holding him without bail, often in solitary confinement. He was in, then he was out, and now he's back in, and not due to his own behavior, because other patriots are coming through the jail or this is standard procedure when we have a federal courtesy hold for U.S. Marshals.
Eric, they reclassified.
That's what they call it.
Eric, they reclassified him. We don't know why they reclassified him, so it's something with him that they reclassified. So we don't know.
Okay, great. Great reason. Okay, good. Here's a reason for everybody to initiate another phone blitz. His trial's coming up in May. What are they reclassifying him for and putting him back in solitary confinement for? We had a speculation that Gary Hunt, the Patriot reporter, was going to be in the same facility, and they didn't want them having contact. I mean, my God, who cares? They're just a couple of reporters reporting on Oregon and Nevada. So Tom Lacovara is his name, and let's do a phone blitz for Tom over the next 30 days and let them know that we have not forgot about Tom. If they think that the phone calls just go away and everybody forgets, they say, oh, wow, cool, their memories are short. Would just keep arresting patriots all over the country. And that's what they're doing. And it's way worse now than it was under Obama, even. So we have Sheriff Byron Trapp, T-R-A-P-P. He's holding Tom unlawfully. Tom hasn't been granted bail. The sheriff should let Tom go if the court is refusing to grant him bail. And that sheriff knows that Tom is not accused of murder. He's accused of possession of a firearm by a convicted felon when it was never in his hand and he never possessed it. It's the new lie by the bar. Called constructive possession. If you're nearby it, you're possessing it. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell, and it's putting a lot of people in prison right now and disarming them permanently. They can't own firearms anymore because of this bizarre constructive possession where if it's down the street, but it's, in your car, that you're possessing it. Well, that's not true at all. If once it's in your hand, then they can claim possession, but it's got to be in your hand because the dictionary says possession, actual holding or occupancy. So if it's a house or a car and you're occupying it, that can be possession. But if it's an object, it's got to be in your hands. And a gun is an object. And if it's not in your hands, you're not possessing it. So I wanted to get that story, the details out there for people who did not know why and how I came into this broadcast in the first place. And so Tom Lacovara, Lacovara, his name's on the Internet, on Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media. Tom's ID, prisoner ID number is 392-3405. That's 392-3405. The Sheriff's Trap's phone number is 541-682-4150. That's 541-682-4150. I can't just ride off into the night and forget about Tom. And we all can't. I got to hang together on this and do a phone blitz for Tom. Call as many times as you possibly can. You have every right to call once a day if you want to call that often, or a couple times a week. Just let them know we didn't forget. We got a break here, so people hang with us. We'll be back at the top of the hour. Thank you. This is Resurrect Republic. I'm Eric the Freedom Screamer. We'll give out a couple more numbers to call on Tom's behalf. Take a few more phone calls from you at 800-313-9443. We thank you for joining us here on the RBN Network. We'll be right back.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.